In the passage that Darren read for us tonight, and read well, I want to notice the request that was made. Lord, increase our faith. But not only the request and how that request should and often is on all of our hearts. Lord, increase our faith. But notice the ones who made the request. The very apostles themselves. Those handpicked by Jesus. Those who walked with Him, worked with Him over 3 years. Even they had this plea. Lord, increase our faith. Similar plea is made by the father of a possessed son. And when Jesus tells him, basically, if you believe, all things are possible. Indicating that he could be set free from this demon that possessed him. This father in anguish said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, increase our faith. How is it that our faith is increased? Well, for one thing, we can go out and look at God's creation and see the design that's in the world and see that there is no way that all this could happen by accident, that there is a designer, an all-wise being that designed nature. We go to the Scriptures, the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We can go out in nature and see evidence of God and evidence of His handiwork, Psalm 19:1. But we can't know who God is and even more what He expects from us by looking out in nature. We must go to the Word of God and study diligently. And that's how our faith is increased. And in light of that, I want to suggest one thing that should be a part of our studies that will increase our faith. And that is having a better and better understanding of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. And I propose to you tonight, the basis of our faith in God is His faithfulness. We can have faith in God and have a growing faith in God when we understand more and more just how faithful a God He is. The word faithful means constant, reliable, dependable, stable, loyal, committed. And all these describe the faithfulness of God. We live in a world in which there are many uncertainties, insecurities. Though there's a constant, and that is our God. And that gives us reassurance, and that gives us comfort. When we find comfort in nothing else. In the words of the song, Abide With Me, there are these lines. Change and decay and all around I see. O Thou who changest not, abide with me. Thou who changest not. That stability in our lives. That's God. And it speaks to the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is a theme throughout the Scriptures, but we're introduced to it very early in the Scriptures. I want to point out one reference in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. And the context is that Moses was giving his instructions, a repeat of the law, if you will, Deuteronomy, reminding the people of Israel the importance of following after God and doing His will. They're on the edge of the promised land, if you will, about to inherit that promise that God had made a long time before, that He would lead them to this land flowing with milk and honey. And He reminds them what had brought them there, who had brought them there. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. The Lord your God, He is God. He is a faithful God. You see, we go back in the history of the people of Israel. Back to when Moses was sent by God to Egypt to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. There Moses told the people that God would lead them to a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so there was that magnificent display of the power of God in the 10 plagues. And even then, after that, when they came to the Red Sea and the Red Sea was parted before them and they crossed over on dry ground. But it seems that when their feet hit the other side of the Red Sea, that's when they began to complain. When God would give them manna in the wilderness, they reflected on the food that they had back in Egypt. Oh, if we could just have that meat to eat. Those cucumbers and melons, the leeks, onions, even the garlic. If we just could have that delicious food one more time. And as their journey in the wilderness continued, they often grumbled and complained to Moses, saying, "We'd be better off had we died back in Egypt." People began to discuss how they might as well just pack up and try to head back to Egypt. You know, leave Moses and Aaron and go back to Egypt where we were better taken care of. And what they're saying by their words, what they were saying, if God has sent Moses, then God has let us down. You see, it's always easy in the short term to doubt the faithfulness and the goodness of God. But Moses kept reassuring them, the Lord has said He will lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And those that did keep the faith, they saw their faith in God proved justified. Because now on the border, about to enter the promised land, Moses says, you've got to learn this lesson. That our God is a faithful God. He keeps His promises. Another thing that underscores the faithfulness of God to His people is how God has made covenants with people throughout history. With Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with the people of Israel through the law of Moses. Entering into a covenant with His people, a binding agreement by two parties. And God would suggest to them over and over, tell them over and over, if you will abide by these conditions, then I will bless you with this. And He was true, so true to His commitments. But it was the people, wasn't it, that kept falling short on their end of the covenant. And then Jesus, when He was instituting the Lord's Supper, spoke of His blood as being the blood of the new covenant. This blood that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That blood being how the new covenant would be formed through the blood of Jesus. And when we think about the blood of Jesus being shed on the cross, understand that to mean how committed God is to His people. How faithful He is to His people. By looking at the cross, we see Jesus, His Son, dying on the cross in agony. But what God is communicating to us is, these are the lengths to which I will go and have gone to make you my people and to bless you if only you remain faithful to me. This is how faithful, how committed I will be and I am to you. So throughout the Scriptures, we find the faithfulness of God underscored. And we come to the conclusion that God is dependable and trustworthy. And this tells us at least two things. Number one, God won't lie. God doesn't lie. Numbers 23:19, Balaam said to Balak, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? And the answers are, indeed he will. God doesn't lie. In Hebrews chapter 6, in the context the Hebrew writer is talking about God's promises to Abraham and his descendants. Hebrews 6 verse 17 beginning, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. He's writing to Christians who were thinking they needed to go back into the law of Moses and keep that. But he's saying, no, look at the faithfulness of God, how he made these promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to Israel. Confirmed these promises with an oath. God cannot lie. And what's the conclusion? We, because of the faithfulness of God, can have strong consolation, strong comfort. Those of us who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. We can have encouragement. We can find strength in the fact that God is a faithful God. He cannot lie. It also means the dependability and the trustworthiness of God, the faithfulness of God, that He will not let us down. Again, the problem is His people often let Him down, but not God. God won't let us down. At the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon recalled God's faithfulness to His people from the very beginning. Notice his words. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to His people Israel according to all He has promised. There has not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised through His servant Moses. Solomon, looking back on the history of Israel and the promises that God had made, not one word has failed of that which He has promised. God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we can trust Him. We can give Him our very lives and know that He is true to His word. He can be relied upon. He can be trusted. You see, the Scriptures link God's faithfulness specifically to a number of promises. And again, behind these promises is the faithfulness of God, the history of how God has been true to His word. I want to point out just three of those promises that we can know are true because God is faithful. Number one, God is faithful in His provision. In His provision. Yes, He's faithful in that He has blessed us. He continues to bless us with the things that we need, the air that we breathe, the food that we eat. He's been faithful in providing the things that we need for our physical well-being. But He's been faithful in providing for our spiritual well-being as well. For example, 1 Corinthians 10:13, we find those words, God is faithful. In what? Paul writes, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Temptation, Paul says, is the common lot of man. All of us, no matter how young or old, no matter what experiences we have had, all of us have to fight temptation. It's the common lot of man. But God is faithful. Now watch what He does. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. I like what one person said. He holds His hand on the thermostat. He knows how much we can bear and will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear with His help. But He'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And the picture behind this is, here is an army perhaps surrounded by a foreign, an enemy. And at first it seems that there's no way out, but then there is a way, perhaps even a narrow way, through which the army is able to flee for safety. The promise of God is, and God is faithful, that He will make the way of escape, that we may be able to endure it. How do we know that? Because God is faithful. What He has promised, He's able to perform, and He will perform. God is faithful in His provision. Secondly, God is faithful in His promises. And again, under this, we could include all the promises of God to His people. He's faithful in His promises. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Another version states, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let's not go to the right or the left. Let's not go back. Let's stay true to God and to His will. Let's be faithful for the rest of our lives. Why? For He who promised is faithful. What can motivate us? What can sustain us? What can give us reason to remain faithful to God even when the circumstances get difficult? Remembering that God is faithful. What He has promised, He will fulfill. I want to remind you of a saintly old grandmother, a godly woman, who rejoiced in the promises of God. This saintly old grandmother would often be found rocking in her rocking chair with her Bible in her lap. And she'd read and underscore the promises of God. And often, as she was rocking in her rocking chair and reading those passages, she would doze off and wake up again and start reading again and rejoicing in those promises. But one day she dozed off and she never woke up. And there she was found with her Bible in her lap. Her son took her Bible and began reading it day after day with his wife. And as day by day as they were reading, they would come across little passages that she had underlined and underscored, made notes. And some of those notes were just two letters, T-P. T-P. And at first they were puzzled by this until one time they found that she had written out what these letters stood for. Tried and proved. And they were by the promises of God. And she was able from experience to say, I've tried this, I've tested this promise, and it has been proved in my life. God is faithful in His promises. God didn't promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, or sun without rain. He did promise strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. God is faithful in His promises. And then thirdly and finally, God is faithful in His pardoning. God is faithful in His pardoning. In 1 John 1:9, we find that phrase, He is faithful again. Notice what John says. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive. The story has been told that a nun once confessed to her priest that Christ had revealed Himself to her in person. The priest was skeptical about this, and so he gave her the following instructions. He said, look, the next time He reveals Himself to you in person, ask Him about the sins that I committed years ago before I became a priest. And if He tells you about them, then I will know that He has appeared to you. A number of weeks later, she came back, and the priest asked, well, did He reveal Himself to you? Yes, she replied. Well, the priest asked, well, what did He say about those sins that I committed? Did He tell you about them? The nun replied, no. He said, I don't remember them. Don't believe that story, but believe this promise that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This passage was written to Christians. We've got to understand that. Because for those who are not Christians, we find that God's plan for salvation is in order to have His forgiveness, we must believe in Jesus. Turn from our sin in repentance. confess His name before men and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. But the promise is there. He's faithful to forgive those who will respond in those ways because He is faithful. But though to the children of God who still struggle and fall short, He has promised to them, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you don't know what I've done. I've messed up. By the Word of God and by His faithfulness, listen, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, it was prophesied under the old covenant about the new. And we're enjoying the blessings of the new covenant today. Blessings like this, Hebrews 8 verse 12. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. You see, God tells us that if we will respond to Him on His terms, that He's going to respond to us in the ways that He has promised, that He will forgive, and He is faithful to do what He has promised. God is faithful. May that fact cause our faith in Him to be increased more and more, that we can stand upon the promises of God, because God is faithful. But then the question is, have we been faithful to Him? Have we been faithful to Him? If you're subject to the invitation tonight, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?